How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for our new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 29th of September. Happy birthday, Mom. A few corrections. Lottery reform tanking is done. What does that mean? The pace by which you play after a miss and how valuable is smart offense. All of those things, plus a get to know that I don't know who it is, coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Ba-dum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-pow. How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. Thanks so much for tuning in to Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz. Subscribe on iTunes, on your Android. You can get us on Alexa or on your Google Home, whatever you might want to do. Spotify as well, YouTube, all there for you. Today's kind of fun because usually I send out a tweet at night that says, who do you want for your get to know interview? And today I'm recording it while the poll is going on. Excuse me. And right now the get to know voting, Royce O'Neal is at 19%. Eric Griffin is at 23%. Joel Bolomboy is at 29%. And Tony Bradley is at 29%. So as I sit here recording the show, I actually don't know our get-to-know interview today. We'll hopefully have it for you. We'll have a decision. Next week, you will get Rodney Hood, Rudy Gobert, and Thabo Sefolosha, depending on how you vote for it. So those will be three good get-to-knows this week. Plus, we have games Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Not ready! We'll see how it plays out. I'm scared. We have games coming up. All right. Today's show is brought to you by my friends at Murdoch Hyundai, Blake and the crew at 4646 South State Street. I'm driving their hybrid, which is amazing. I've loved their Santa Fe, and I've really gotten to know the Murdoch family. In fact, I spent a bunch of time with Tyson Murdoch over at Murdoch Chevy yesterday. So I've really gotten to know this family and just love the 90-year story of them in Salt Lake City and as a part of our culture, and just neat people. So they're bringing today's show. I appreciate their support immensely. Inventory is dramatically filling up for the season. So if you are interested in advertising, you probably should email me at dlock09@gmail.com. That's dlock09@gmail.com. I wanted to make two corrections or just additions to the beginning of yesterday's show. One, when I was talking about the political kind of muting that's going on, I have never had any comment from the Jazz organization in any way, shape, or form. In fact, some of the members of that organization, I have my best discussions that are where it's exactly contrary to what we're talking about, where it's an open marketplace of conflicting ideas. So I want to make sure that that was clear, that I have never, now maybe I've never done anything that needs to be, but I think I probably have. So I want to make that clear. Second one is I got asked who has stood out during the practices on the first few days, and I kind of wavered and didn't really have an answer. You know what stood out to me is there are two things. And then I also got asked on Spence and Gordon's show about leadership. And in retrospect, I think I answered both of these questions wrong, because what has stood out to me, which I did say, is how hard everyone's playing. The level of effort and the listening to Quinn and trying to do what Quinn is asking them to do and play in the style that Quinn wants them to, it has really been remarkable. So then that actually means that there is leadership. And that goes to Rudy and Joe. probably more than anyone else, the two returners. And then in regards to how hard they're playing, and then I went and asked a few people yesterday around the organization, like, does anything impress you? And the answer is exactly that, that how hard they're playing. Moreover, though, it's Rudy. Rudy has been incredibly impressive in the effort he's putting out there. Joe Johnson kind of always is. I think that's probably worth mentioning. But Rudy is putting out a tremendously high-level effort day in and day out with the Utah Jazz right now. And I think that's kind of worth mentioning. And I didn't yesterday, so I kind of failed on that. So my bad. And hopefully I'll fix that by doing it right now. All right, so lottery rules are in. They do not kick in for 20 till 2019. And the big change is that the first three picks will all get 14% chance for the number one pick. It used to be 25, 20, and 16%. So that's a pretty dramatic difference. The fourth pick is about the same. The fifth pick is up about 1.5% or so. The sixth pick goes up about 1.7% to get the number one pick. The seventh pick goes up 2.2%. The eighth team goes up more than double from 2.8% to 6%. The ninth pick goes up more than double from 1.7 to 4.5. The 10th pick goes up almost triple from 1.1% to 3%. So that's where there's really a dramatic change from 1 through 5 to 6 through 10. They've just absolutely slid it down. The real impact is, you know, you've suddenly picked top 3. If you have the number one, if you have the worst team in the league, you now only have a 40% chance of picking in the top 3. I mean, they have killed any idea of just being awful to get a top 3, guaranteed top 3 pick. You only have a 40% chance if you're one of the top 3 picks. By the way, the odds for the top 3 are virtually the same. There's a minor twist in if you want a top 5 pick by being the third team. But there is no advantage to being the first, second, or third worst team in the league starting in 2019. You have a 40% chance of having a top 3 pick. The fourth team is the exact same, virtually the same. It actually went down a tiny bit for them being a top 3 pick. The fifth team being a top 3 pick, fifth worst team, is up 3%. The sixth team is up 6% and at 28% compared to the 40% of the top 3. So there's, I mean, not a lot. The seventh worst record goes up 8 percentage points in top 3. The eighth team doubles from 10 to 19% virtually. And the ninth team triples from 6 to 15. Not quite, but go with me. So huge again. So frankly, from the Jazz standpoint, as long as we have Quinn and Rudy, I don't think we're going to be a bottom four team. And this makes it a little bit more advantageous. You know, if we have a bad year and slide, then that probably works out for us in 2019. I don't think we'll be there. But that's at least, you know, that's there. I'll tell you, I don't know how to, all right, so they have addressed what they deemed a problem, and they have fixed it, okay? That is true. If you believe tanking was a problem, a significant enough problem that it needed reform, then it has happened. They have done it. I just didn't think it was something that's that big a deal. And I would have to say that I kind of felt as though, really small market team getting, I guess this is the problem. I thought the process worked. It did. The process was right. And they had to prevent it from ever happening again. Okay. I think that's where it stands. For the immediate reaction, I don't think it should hurt us very much. All right, let's get a poll update. We've only got, like, I put an hour on this poll. I've only got 7 minutes left on the poll. They're still tied. Ballenboy and Bradley are tied at 30%. Eric Griffin is at 21%. And Royce O'Neal is at 19%. Tied with 7 minutes left in this poll. Need your votes to break the tie. I'm tweeting right now. It's live tweeting, except for the fact we're not live. All right, we got 7 minutes left in that. As I mentioned, today's show is brought to you by Murdoch Hyundai at 4646 South State Street. They've got some fun things going on to wrap up the month. They have a new opening of their sixth store in Logan, so they've done a grand reopening for everybody in the state, all of their different places, and some of the deals are amazing. The Elantra is like 25% off or something just insane or something. It's like $5,750 off. I've driven the Santa Fe Sport. I think it's great. And I got this really cool email the other day from Barbara. This is so cool. If you guys do go over and use some of our sponsors, please let me know. Barbara sent me, hey, thank you for your advice on Murdoch Hyundai and the Santa Fe. We just purchased a Santa Fe Limited Ultimate with a tech package. Tech package is awesome. It's a great car, like you said, and also great value. Our experience at the Murray store was great. We personally met Blake, and we're very impressed. They treated us fairly with no pressure. We love your podcast and reading Empty the Noggin, which you can do it. You can now do it, by the way, at LockedOnJazz.net this year. It'll be at LockedOnJazz.net. We love hearing about the stats and facts and different stuff. So then she's just really nice to me. She says, I'm a female. I'm over 55. I'm not in your demo, and we love basketball. Well, Barbara, we love you. So thank you very much to Barbara, who's sending that little note. Please, if you guys go to one of our sponsors and you don't have a good experience, please let me know. We'll make sure we jump on it right away. And if you have a good experience, please let us know as well. We try to choose who we're using correctly. I loved that Grip 6 story I got the other day. I feel like I should be taking pictures like every day of like that I'm wearing a Grip 6 belt, but I haven't quite figured out how you're supposed to do a selfie of your belt line without sending it out and somehow making it seem offensive. So I haven't done that yet. Yesterday I got into this a little bit. It's pace and productivity after certain actions. So Inpredictable has this on their website. They do great, great work. So I mentioned this last year. After a made shot last year, we were 29th in the league in how soon we took our shot. So slow. Houston was the fastest. Brooklyn, Golden State, New Orleans, they were all about 16 seconds. And Miami, Utah, Memphis were the slowest at 18. So we held the ball for about a second and a half more than anyone else in the league in the half court when Quinn got into his flow system. But it worked. We were pretty good. We were 13th in the league in offensive efficiency after a made shot. We were 12th for the season. We were quite good. The best in the league in these circumstances were Houston, Denver, Cleveland, Minnesota, San Antonio, Boston, Golden State, Portland, Toronto, New York, LA, Oklahoma City, and Utah, all basically the same. And there's really no trend here on whether or not you're fast or slow. Houston was the quickest to take a shot after a made basket. Denver was in the middle of the pack. Cleveland was slow. Minnesota was slow. San Antonio was slow. Boston was 11th. Golden State was really fast. Portland was below average. Toronto was slow. New York was average. The Clippers were a little below average. Oklahoma City was fast. And Utah was really slow. And those are the top 13 offenses. There's no trend there. There's nothing that says that if after a made shot you go quickly, you're going to be good. In fact, Philadelphia was 7th, and they were the most inefficient. Brooklyn was 2nd. They were the 3rd worst. And Phoenix was the 5th fastest, and they were the 4th worst. So, in fact, it might trend a little bit that you should take the time in the half court, move the basketball. I don't think there's any reason for the Jazz to make much of any adjustment in this. There's nothing that says that their slow pace of play or holding the ball for a long time after made shots to run their system and run the passing and the picks that they run is prohibiting them from being as successful as they possibly can. Now, after you force a miss, after the defense has done its job, the Jazz were 29th in the league again. And this time they were 2 seconds about slower than the average and about 3 seconds than the fastest teams in the league. And those teams were Golden State and Houston and Phoenix and Brooklyn and Oklahoma City and Denver and the Lakers in Detroit. And some of them were really good. Four of them are in the top eight in the league offensively. Golden State, Houston, Phoenix, and Denver after they ran. Brooklyn was just terrible, period. Oklahoma City was actually surprisingly inefficient after a miss. And the Lakers weren't very good. So the bad teams weren't very good. But there does seem to be, there's no team that's in the bottom 10 in pace of play after a miss that's in the top 10 offensively. So you want me to say that again? So contrasting this for a second. Slow teams after a made shot, there were two teams that were in the top 10. And actually, if you take the bottom 11 teams, four of them are in the top 10 in efficiency offensively, even though they're slow after a made shot. That is not the case after a defensive rebound. After a defensive rebound, Toronto, or actually, it was actually pretty slow, and they were fourth best. Otherwise, everybody else is 10th or higher. We were 10th. We were good at it. But everybody else is 27th, 20th, 11th, 16th, 15th, 18th, 25th. So there is a little bit of a trend line here that after a defensive rebound, if you are bringing the ball up slower or if you are not running, you are missing out on some opportunities. And this is the area where I think the Jazz could probably improve in this upcoming season, is trying to get out of 29th in the league after defensive rebounds. After a made shot, I see very little need for any type of adjustment by Quinn and his staff. But with this year's roster, the way it is, there might be an argument that you up the tempo after misses. And that's, you know, they've been working on something pretty similar. That's where you get that Donovan Mitchell comment about playing quicker. You get that comment from Jarebko about playing quicker. I also think that with the altitude and the new timeout structure, that that's probably a pretty good idea also for the Jazz to take advantage of a little bit of where they are with the altitude. Now, the third thing that can happen is a play can happen after a turnover. This, to me, is really a misleading statistic because turnovers I take it back. Unpredictable, beat me to it. This only includes possessions after live ball turnovers. Dead ball turnovers are included in the after made shot column, right? Because you're taking it out underneath the basket. It's the exact same. So here, after turnovers, the Jazz were 24th in the league in pace, right off league average. So when we turned it over, we went pretty quickly, and we were pretty good. We were 7th best in the NBA. Dallas was a second slower than any other team in the NBA off a turnover and last in the league in productivity. Like, that's one where Dallas really outlined this thing in a way that's not successful to them. Teams that turn after fast breaks are generally pretty productive too, though it's not as universal. So there's not a big number here, and I'm glad Unpredictable did it correctly, where I look at this and say the Jazz need to make a tremendous change. They were very productive after timeouts. They were 7th best in the league. We forced turnovers very rarely last year. So the area by which the Jazz, I think, can really make a change this year and try to get their offense to be a little bit more productive is after defensive rebounds. And running quicker into your sets, creating action quicker after your sets. It's the one area where statistically the Jazz weren't great. All right, let's get a poll update. I'm a little nervous. It's going to be a tie, and I don't know what to do. Here it is, the poll update. Friday Get to Know segment. 20% for Royce O'Neal, 20% for Eric Griffin. Joel Bolomboy and Tony Bradley, both at 30%. My Twitter poll has Tony Bradley highlighted in blue. And so Tony Bradley will be the choice for your get-to-know interview here in just a second. Here's a research project that I need to work on. If you look at our offense last year, I could make a pretty good argument that Quinn Snyder's offense was the smartest analytically in the league. So if you look at our shot distribution, we took the 11th most amount of shots at the rim. I believe these numbers are updated. I have not. They look about right. By the way, if you don't remember last year, point per shot in the restricted area is 1.2. In the paint, non-restricted area is 0.9. Mid-range is 0.9, really 0.87. Corner three is 1.04, and above the break, three. That's got to be backwards. A corner three is 1.15, and above the break is 1.04. So those are the, and a free throw is 1.5. So you want the free throw line 1.5. Any three is a 1.1. Restricted area is 1.2. Those are the three shots you want. The Jazz last year, with their personnel and system, took the 11th most amount of shots in the restricted area, took the 23rd most mid-range shots, so they were nicely low in that category. They took the 11th most threes, the 4th most corner threes, and the 5th highest percentage of their threes being corner threes. Right? So this, they really, their smart rank was 11th in the league, just in the sense percentage of their field goals that were taken there. But then you actually start to go with, you know, if you built the next level, which is the research project I'm working on, like average points expected from the Jazz shooting. So the Jazz, by taking 11% of their shots in the restricted area and then taking ranking only 19.6% of their shots were mid-range shots last year. The Jazz were one of the smartest offensive teams in the league in where they took their shots, taking a high percentage of corner threes. They took 9.4% of their shots as corner threes. Only three teams were higher than them. I think Houston was at 12.2 last year. Miami was is always up there. They were about at 9.8. And the third team would be Houston. So the Jazz were, you know, those are the only teams that took a higher rate of corner threes than the Jazz did last year, which is, as we just go back to corner three, 1.15, one of the most effective shots in the game. So the Jazz were one of the smartest offenses in the league. And the question I have is, if they do that again this year, just like, what does that do? Does that take a 20th ranked offense to 15th? Does that take a, 18th ranked offense to 13th? Does it take a 25th ranked offense to 20th? I think that's a research project that I need to work on and see if I can get a really solid answer for you on. And I will work on it. I think that's important to who we are. All right, that wraps up the thoughts for the day. It is time for your Get to Know interview with Tony Bradley, the 19-year-old kid out of Florida.
All right, let's get to know Tony Bradley a little bit. Take me back to your hometown. What would you show me around your hometown?
There's not much to show you. It's a small little town called Bartow, Florida. It's in Bartow. It's called Bartow. It's in Florida. It's in between Tampa and Orlando. And the only thing I show you is just going to the gym. Just a couple of restaurants there. There's no malls or nothing like that, nothing fancy. But I love where I'm from.
What was was there a first hoop you played on there?
In a way, there is, yeah. I've been there most of my life, so I cherish where I'm from.
You have brothers and sisters?
I have a little sister.
And what was you like the big mentor to her, or was she a little pest to you? What was the dynamic?
It's like half and half. She can be annoying, but she still loves me. She looks up to me. We have that type of relationship. So she's getting older, and I don't really see her as much, but we talk off and on.
If you took me back to your childhood room, what would it look like? What was on the walls?
Still to this day, it's LeBron, D-Wade, Shaq, Kobe. I think Dwight Howard. Back in the day, I used to get the school magazines, rip the posters off the like Sports Illustrated and stamp them on the wall. So there's a bunch of those in my room still to this day.
When you're in the backyard, who do you pretend to be?
Kobe. Everybody tries to be Kobe. You just handle the ball, shoot fadeaways and all that.
What's your first nickname you were ever given?
Tone or TB. So.
Why do you wear number 13?
Well, the number, someone else has the number I wanted, but.
Which was?
I like 5, 3, single digit numbers, but 13 looked pretty good on me, so that's why I chose it.
No unlucky 13 or anything like that. And the basketball world, particularly the NBA, which you haven't entirely lived through yet, is just so much downtime. What do you do in your downtime?
I play a lot of video games. I make beats. I make music. I even have a little RC car I play with, a little hobby car. Sometimes when I have time, I drive it around and stuff.
What's the making music?
I make like different trap beats for fun. I like the sound of it. So I'm getting better. Just my downtime, I play around with it.
Do you have a most memorable moment of your career?
Most definitely, just especially in college, the championship game. We won that, got our rings. Never forget it. Unforgettable.
What was it like to win a title?
It's something unbelievable. Something. It's just it's, thinking about it, it's just a special feeling. Something I'll never forget.
All right, kind of get well. There's two popular books out there right now. One's Grit by Angela Duckworth, and the other's Talent Code by Daniel Coyle about elite athletes and how they get there. What made you believe that you'd one day be wearing an NBA uniform as you wear one right now?
I think it was more of just me working toward that goal of being in the NBA. It happened sooner than I thought it would. But I'm glad I have the opportunity to be here now and to work and stay here is the next goal. But just looking up to the guys in the NBA, I wanted to get here, and I have role models like Tim Duncan and LeBron and Kobe. They set the example for just setting that goal and reaching it. So
much of grit is to avoid complacency. How do you – you're going to get a big check here pretty soon. How do you avoid complacency?
I want to be the best player I can be, so the check won't really hold me back at all. It's a great thing and everything, but I have goals, and basketball is bigger than just a check, and I just want to be the best player I can be. That's the ultimate goal.
What's most difficult about improvement?
That's tough to say. I don't know.
Did you ever doubt?
Did I ever doubt?
Did you make it?
Yeah, there's some doubts, but I think everyone has those days when they doubt sometimes, but you just got to keep pushing, keep moving, and overcome that.
What does passion mean to you?
It's a feeling, a love for something, a strong feeling towards something that you like and love.
How about if I were to ask you if you could think of an example of perseverance or what perseverance means to you?
Pushing through things that are not going your way. Yeah.
So when they talk about, there's a quote, there's a superlative performance is really actually a confluence or combination of a dozen small skills that each one gets learned and then becomes a larger habit. When you think of your game, what are the small, tiny skills? What are the minor things that Tony Bradley has to do to get better?
Just little things like run the floor, rebound, offensive rebound. It's just and most of all, just an effort thing. That's bottom line, just effort.
There's another quote that says, to do anything really well, you have to overextend yourself. What's an example of maybe where you've pushed yourself beyond where you thought you could ever go?
Just a thing. Just getting up extra shots after practice, and just pushing yourself, repetition, to get that rhythm going, and sometimes before and after practice. So that's how you do it. That's just practice is not good enough. You got to get some shots after.
And finally, what makes you come out every day? There's obviously days you're tired, and it's like, what gets you out every day?
You just want to be the best. You have role models you look up to. You want to get where they're at. So that's motivation.
Tony, thank you very much.
Thank you.
That is Tony Bradley, young kid, surprisingly good with the basketball for a big man. He grew late. You can see that control he has. He's learning. I don't know how much time he gets this year. I think he's a really nice prospect to have, though, in the system. Excited for where he's heading, and a really neat kid. That is today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Have a wonderful weekend. Today's show brought to you by Murdoch Hyundai at 4646 South State Street, and their celebration still going on, this taking place for their re-grand openings of all their stores taking place this month of September. So thank you very much to Murdoch Hyundai. If you'd like to be involved in Locked On Jazz, you can email me at dlock09@gmail.com. This has been Locked On Jazz, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Get all the latest at lockedonjazz.net.
Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.